notes, my items organized, Lord willing. Well, before we start today, if we could have a couple of prayers from the saints here for our time together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day that we are in. We pray that you would bless this word. Lord, you are, everything about you is a gift from above, a good gift, Lord. And we're grateful that we're here today. We just pray that you would open the word, you'd open our ears and our mouths, Lord. So we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, as I was thinking about today, and it is Christmas. In fact, my wife said to me just before we drove up here as we're getting off the exit off the 605 freeway, she said, "Oh, by the way, Merry Christmas." And I said, "I guess so." Because I was thinking about this and thinking about the message and really how Christmas for us is every day.
Amen.
It really is. This is a special day. It's more for kids. You know, we went down to the Door of Faith. I'm going to be speaking a little bit about that. Kathy's message, which was wonderful to the kids, is that you're getting gifts. And these gifts are going to break. And they're going to be gone pretty soon. In fact, my grandson got from my daughter a little baby drone, I'm going to call it. And a really small. And he had a great old time at our house. We celebrated, Friday? We celebrated our time together. And by the time he got it home, he was playing with it for a little bit at the house, and then the dog ate the drone. Quite trauma there in the household. We got a little picture, you know. One thing with the phone, we got the phone, the picture of the little drone. I'm going, what? I don't get it, you know, because I couldn't see it. And then I saw all the teeth marks in the photograph. So that's a gift. These kinds of gifts, and that's what Kathy was talking about when they were getting the stockings, and more about that later. But the gifts that wear out. But so this is kind of a little bit of a hybrid message, because Kathy Smith asked if there'd be something that I could maybe say the night of our, what do we call it, a sing-along, praise-along, whatever we were calling it. But then we went outside to let that last song be known, and then lo and behold, Todd said, Bob's going to pray for it. But, you know, there's a little miscommunication there. But it was a little bit of Genesis of what I'm going to share today. So God works these things out in unusual ways. So, because I did have a little something for that time. And this is not strictly a Christmas message, but it's a hybrid, using the terms of the day, a hybrid kind of Christian Christmas message. So I put five things here on the board, which I was struck with. Jan put these on the board because...
Actually, Jillian did.
Oh, Jillian did. Okay. Jillian did. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. But when we think of gifts, in the giving of gifts, I'd like us to go right away because, let me backtrack. These five things that God has given us in Christ Jesus that are, and there's many more, of course, but these, to me, are the five core things in the Christian life that has happened to us. Now, I can say life, death, inheritance, the book, and prayer. I consider these, as I've been studying this for a little bit of time here, the five graces of the Christian life. Five is the number of grace in the Bible. And this are five things. And when I stumble, inevitably, which I do and probably you do from time to time, is because I lose sight of how great are these gifts. The Christmas gift really is what it is. This is what this all springs from. So, all we have to do is look at verse for the first one here, which is life. We know what life we're alluding to. And Phil alluded to there about the heavenly host. Chapter 1, we've gone over this in the past, but I want to bring this home kind of to these 5 points. Verse 26 and 27 of the book of Colossians. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the person. We talked about the babe in that song, but the very person of the Lord Jesus. And of course, if we have the Lord Jesus, and we can't go on to everything that entails, but of course that infers also the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit and we have God the Son, we also have the Father with us in a mysterious way. Amen. The whole Godhead is with us. Now, listen to what it says right there. The mystery in verse 26, which was what?
Hidden.
It was hidden from mankind. And it burst onto the scene there to the shepherds, as we heard. This mystery was hidden from mankind, but has been revealed to us. This gift of God, which is unbelievable. 2 Corinthians, turn there with me. I tried to mark these because I have a lot of verses. Second Corinthians 9:15 says this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now we heard it in one of the prayers already today. Thanks be to God for this gift that he's given us of his Son. What is indescribable? The greatness of this gift. It's indescribable, but you can't put it in words. Now, let me tell you something. You know something about a golfer? When they tell people about how far they hit the ball on a certain hole, or this the length of their putt, what is it usually going to be? A little shorter than what they said it was, right? Or not quite as spectacular as they're claiming. Same thing with fishermen, right? The worst one is surfers. As I grew up in that environment. You show up to a surf spot, you travel a long way. You travel 1,000 miles to get to this surf spot, which I've done many times, believe it or not. Even 2,000, even 3,000 miles I've gone places to try to go get the perfect wave. Here's what you always hear. You should have been here yesterday. Because it was fantastic. Like we've never seen a day of days, you know. It was fantastic. But you know what? The Bible is saying there's no possible way to exaggerate the greatness of this gift, because we'd only be touching the surface of how awesome this gift is. It's a gift of God that he gave us in Christ Jesus. We're going to learn about through eternity. That much I'm confident of. That's how long it's going to take to understand how incredible the gift is. Because it is. It is the gift of God, and these are some of these are familiar verses. We're going to read them. Ephesians. Greg mentioned this in the sing-along. Ephesians chapter 2. Familiar verses. But I want us to think on all of these things as things that have been hidden and are both hidden, were hidden from in the ages past. They've been revealed now to mankind. But can I put it this way? In a certain way, they're still hidden. They're still hidden. They have to be sought after, even though you have them. That's an oxymoron, but this is the truth of the Christian life. So here, let's read about the gift. But I want to read verse 7 first. Look what it says there related to what we're going to be. He's talking, and we could go back, but we can't go back too much because we're going to get away from the focus of what we're saying. The gift of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, hidden from ages past. But look at this. Not ages past, not just present. Look what happens. That in the ages to come, the ages we don't see, the spectacular nature of this gift, let's put it that way, that the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So there we have it. We have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Even our faith is a gift from above. But this gift is going to take the ages to be revealed. I don't understand. I'm just taking God at his word. That's what we need to do. We don't have to understand it all. We do have to believe this. This is how spectacular it is. It's going to be showing the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, of what he's done for us, the gift that he's given to us, really to the whole world, but especially to those that believe. What a gift. It's indescribable. That's the best word for it, really, that our brother used. Now listen, again, my grandkids, it's easy, because you know what? Remember the Art Linkletter show? For us, those of us that are older here, kids say the what?
Darndest thing.
They always do. So my grandson, and I'm coaching with Bobby in Little League Baseball, he's hyper-competitive. You play a board game with him, and we get towards the end, and we realize he's going to lose, we're all looking at him and going, ooh, you know what's going to happen? Because it's a 50% chance he's going to burst out into tears. So when we... in our baseball team this year, I think we lost 2 games during the season. But both games, you know, I knew it. I knew what was going to happen. Tears, lots of tears from him. He was the cheerleader of the tears, you know. So I told him just about a week ago, I go to Beckett, I go, Beckett, because he was telling me he's looking forward to playing baseball again starting in March. He said, I'm really looking forward. I can't wait for it, you know. And I'm going, well, you're getting a little older. You just turned 8. Can we drop the crying thing? And he says, Papa, he says, I've got a solution to that. He says, just trade me. And I go, well, of course I'm not going to trade him. But this is the beauty of this gift. The Lord knew that we were... would be like this, because we're prone to wander, as that song said, to to leave the God we love. But Jesus, at the end of the book of Matthew, it's something which is the incredible thing he says to his people, is he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's not trading you. You see, once we're part of his team. In fact, this is Jan's testimony. You probably, many have heard you say this. You can't even get yourself off the team if you want to. You see? Jan said that she became saved and she realized what it entailed about a week later, and she says, "I'm not sure I want any part of this." But God told her, "Nope, too late. I got you." And that's how it works. This is the gift of God. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. But that life of Christ in us is hid. Let's look at that. Here's the other thing. Here's the other gift which I want to think about on Christmas here. The gift of death and everything that that entails. What do I mean by that? The gift of death. Well, let's, all we have to do is go back, or forward in this case. Ephesians. That song still does great benefits for me, that Sunday school song that Karen taught us way back when, singing the books of the Bible. And I love to hear my kids do it because they're learning it. And they can say it. And in fact, one of my grandkids did all the Old Testament book, and then my grandson did all the New Testament book in a row. I'm not sure I can do that right now. But in the book of Colossians, again, talking about the gift of death. Now that sounds strange, but I believe that's true. Chapter 3, verse 3. "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." The simplicity of it that we have to come back to over and over again. This fact is both past tense and present tense. So with my granddaughters the other day, I was thinking, as I was with them, and I was thinking of what they're facing, because I have three, my daughter is three. And I was thinking that, well, you're being raised in church and going to Christian school kind of hybrid half of the time, and then they're homeschooling half the time. I said, well, they're probably hearing songs like our kids did. So I told the three daughters, I said, "What is the only thing that can wash away your sins?" You know what they said? "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I want them to remember that when they're a teenager. I want them to believe that with all their hearts. And that's something we have to, this is a practical application of the hidden life of Christ in our life. We have to learn, like we did this morning, we celebrated the Lord's table. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God puts it this way, "Our sins and lawless deeds, he will remember no more." You see, it's a weapon, this death that he sent. And really, it's true. I find this to be one of the most difficult things, a concept I didn't even understand, probably, if I'm going to be honest, until 15 years, maybe 20 into my Christian life. I understood what it meant to die with Christ and going, but I understand that I really died. Can I put it that way? That I really died with Christ and my old life is over with. Now this I need, and I'm pretty sure you guys too, need to do and use almost every day as a weapon of God. Because the old life just loves to spring up and dominate. And we can come back to the cross of Jesus. We can come back to the fact that, and Paul goes into this, this is what he's talking about in verse 2 of chapter 3, to set your mind on the things above, not the things of the earth. And he's basically saying, this is how. This is a practical application. So that's a gift of God in every believer's life. From God's perspective, we've heard it many times, and I'll say it again, is that from God's perspective, we're dead. The old life is dead. The new life with Christ is alive. That's how God really views us. I believe that because you know why I believe that? And I know you believe it. Because of the whole counsel of the Word of God. Not a single verse we're taking out of context. Because the whole counsel of the Word of God proclaims this to us, His people. Okay. But it's hidden. Just like it said here in this verse, 3:3, it's a hidden life with Christ in God. Something that we have to seek after. Something we have as a gift, but something that still has to be sought after. So number 3 is the gift of inheritance. And for that, I want to turn to a few verses. Ephesians 1:18. Hopefully put a little bit of, you know, it's the Word of God is so expansive. Honestly, it's hard for me, a person like me, because I can take one verse and just speak the whole time on one verse. But we're not doing that today because I want to focus on these 5 gifts. 1:18. I think I'll read 17 too. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him. Here's the part of inheritance. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now that's a mouthful. Sometimes don't you feel like when you read the Word of God, you've just it kind of goes over your head a little bit. You need to just stop, pause, and listen, so to speak, and ask God's help to understand what He's talking about. This is, I find that to be, for me at least, kind of the whole Word of God, practically. Sometimes verses I think that are so easy to understand, I come across them another time, I go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's not exactly what I was thinking. And this is one of these. This is something that Paul, now Paul, we go into the history of Paul and where he came from. We just know that he persecuted the church. Let's just say that. And he had a past, a sword past in that way. But now all of a sudden he sees a much greater picture. What was that picture? Well, I believe it's this. Let's the inheritance in the saints, talking about God's inheritance in His people. And that means our inheritance in Him. And our inheritance with one another. Remember I'm saying 5 gifts. Here it is. Life in Christ. The life He put in us. Death. He views us as dead already. Now our inheritance. Where is our inheritance? We're all battling for inheritance. Some of us, you know what the people our age, and many of us already had, you know what the word is? Retirement. Well, I found for whatever reason, I'm past what would be a normal retirement age. I had to work maybe the hardest year of my life this year. Oh, well, that's just the way it is. I'm okay with that because God did it. It's fine. And I'm grateful for our work and our business. But, you know, you work your whole life so you can store up a bunch of money and then maybe you can go on a bunch of vacations or leave an inheritance for your kids. That's the idea, right? So that they'll have an easier life than you happen to have. Let me burst your bubble. There's no inheritance, really, outside of Jesus Christ. You could be the richest person in the world. I know some people are pretty rich. Oh, sorry. But big deal, right? What does money buy us? Not a cup of tea in heaven. Nothing. Now, what are we talking about inheritance? Our inheritance is in Him, but this is what Paul understood with all his heart. Let me put it this way. Paul understood it with all his mind and all his soul that his inheritance was amongst God's people. And it took a spectacular revelation of this. This, again, is why it's a core principle. People fall out of fellowship. You know why? Because the devil, sorry to put it that way, but I believe the devil just wants to isolate people and get them out of fellowship. Because he knows, and somebody mentioned in a prayer today, he knows the real inheritance, the real wealth that is found in God's people. A couple of verses which are spectacular in that way. Philippians chapter 4. And he's talking about people getting along here. We know the story in the book of Philippians, but Paul starts up Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 like this. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. Wait a minute. Have you ever heard anyone speak like that here? Not really. I haven't. He was focused like a laser beam. He was saying, you guys, and it sounds a little weird, are my inheritance. You guys are my joy and my crown. My joy and my crown? What does a crown speak of? It speaks of an inheritance, something God's going to give us, something God has given us, and something that we have to discover that is hidden in Christ. I want to think of all of these things as things, gifts that we have and gifts that have to be discovered. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians again. Now, Paul takes it to a whole new level with this verse. Same idea. Now he's talking to the Thessalonians, not the Philippians, but he's letting them know the same thing which God has revealed to him to be the truth. For chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is coming? Oh my gosh. This is perspective on the life we're living on. We're getting ready for the long life, but he's got his eyes on the prize. He's saying that here's our inheritance, Philippians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, wherever he was, he's saying that here is our inheritance. Here's the revelation of God in our midst. This was so important to God's people that in the book of Acts, we could go there and we're not, because we could just keep going on and on. But the book of Acts, there's a term that's used over and over again in the first three chapters. You know what it is? They were all in one accord. This led them to be able to be in one accord because they saw the importance of the Holy Spirit being poured out on them as a church, their oneness in Christ, their inheritance in Christ, their inheritance amongst one another. So this is a gift of God. Now it puts a little perspective maybe on the routines of life. When we get a little discouraged, these gifts. We need to come back to these. All right, let's move on to the gift of the book, is what I'm going to put it. The gift of the Bible. The gift of the Word of God that became flesh and dwelt amongst us, as John said. And for this, another familiar verse, let's turn back to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 24, and this is the Lord showing up to two disciples, unnamed disciples, on the road to Emmaus. And I just want to read two verses here, and for those that aren't familiar with the story in its entirety, it's well worth the read. Two verses being 27 and 32. And in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, this he expounded to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. And verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? Now, we've said already today that we have God's life, but our life is hid in Christ. We've died, and our life is hidden in Christ. The inheritance among the saints is something that has to be sought after, seen, and sought for in fellowship. Let me put it this way. And again, this is to the whole Word of God. I believe with all my heart, our life is hidden within the pages of the book. Now, that might seem like a big statement, but I just really believe that's what the Bible declares. Why? Because the Bible answers every riddle of life, I've come to find. Many of us are going through things that we wouldn't wish on our worst enemy, but there's an answer. And the answers are up here on the board, these five graces, but one of them certainly is the gift of the Word of God. And it's certainly true that certain brothers and sisters are gifted in the Word of God. Even the Word of God there in the, I forget which book it is, but it said Apollos was unusually gifted in the Scriptures, as I remember, something to that effect. But you know what? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the gift of the Bible to mankind, really. This is a gift. I mean, just one verse can save a person. I've seen that happen. I mean, I knew somebody when I was a young person, and they were dead set against the gospel. And he just heard one thing that converted him, believe it or not. This is what he heard. He came to me, and he couldn't believe it. Render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God. He was converted on that. I did it. So every believer, let's go to James chapter 1, Hebrews James. chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Now that's interesting, this way that that's put. He's brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be kind of the first fruits of his creation. Now it's obviously alluding to our new birth. And don't tell me from looking at this, because I say this again, because it's been said here, and I'm just copying other people, the whole counsel of the Word of God. What I mean by that is don't take a verse out of context and say that it's up to God. He's going to save a person or not save a person, or save me or not save me. It's all on Him. But you see, that takes out a verse like, God desires that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. We don't know. This is in everything's in God's hands. We're not as smart as sometimes we think. We can't apply certain scriptures and just throw everything else out. So what I'm saying is this. When we're born again, this is what I'm saying when we're looking here at verse He brought us forth by the word of truth. We were born again, let me just put it that way, or we got this new life because we believe God's word and believed upon the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter. Oh boy, got it wrong. got that wrong. For time, I'm just going to move on. In 1 Peter? No, it wasn't the verse. That's all right. But that's a good one. Okay. So, but we could say so much about this gift, but I'm trying to keep it simple. Five gifts that God has given us in Christ Jesus. And beyond any shadow of doubt, this book is an eternal book. And this book has been given as a gift to mankind. There's no book like it in all the earth. You know, it's easy to get distracted, and especially in this digital age where you can just read about anything and everything all the time. Didn't have that in the same way when I was growing up, but it's sure there now. But it's given to every believer is the point. It's not just given to Apollos or, let's just say, you know, current speakers or something like an Ed Miller or Lance Lambert or somebody that might be especially gifted in the Word of God. No, this is given as a gift. And God wants to burn in every believer's heart. I believe we've had that experience. I bet you everyone in this room, for the most part, has had the experience of opening the Bible and God burning in our hearts for more of Him. Now, if you haven't, you need to ask God to help you with the Word of God, because He will. If it's just a book to you, you need to ask Him to help you to open the eyes of your understanding. And the last one. Of the five gifts that God has given to us, the big ones to me, I would put it that way, is the gift of prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Now, let me just preface this, is we all need each other's prayers. Even the Lord Jesus needed the prayers of those infallible men. Now, that sounds crazy, but I really believe that. He depended upon these men a lot more than we get the idea, is my guess, and will only come to know in the ages to come, how much he needed and how much he depended upon them. He was not a lone ranger, so to speak. He needed those men to be with him. But beginning at verse 7 through verse 11, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and you will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. For what man is there amongst you, if his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then be, this is the key verse to me, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father is in heaven give good things to those who ask him. If you there being evil, by nature, is what I want to say. And it's a good thing to realize we're evil by nature. It's a good thing to have to come back and say, hey, I died with Christ. That old life is just buried on that tree. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus here. And we know the Lord's Prayer. And it's recited in many places all over the world, even right now. But to me, there's a much more important thing. This is just to me. But to me, it was the question that one of the disciples asked, which was important. And this is the question that we need to ask of the Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. There's a humility there. Show us how to pray. show us how. Now, this is, again, well, you could say, well, certain persons gifted in prayer and they their prayers are always answered or something. But there may be some truth in that. But every believer, these are gifts to every believer. These aren't the gifts of that are talked about in other areas, that, you know, the gift of, well, I could go into the whole list. But these are five things in the lives of every believer. Let's put it this way. And I want to talk, I meant to go on to the first four verses of Colossians, but it's not going to happen today. I mean, four verses I wanted to cover in Colossians, not going to happen. But every believer, and this is the power of our prayer. I was just talking with Bob, and we were talking about business yesterday a little bit. And a testimony to me to the answers to prayer is how long we prayed for Dan Lindbergh for his business. And it almost seemed like a hopeless case. Like, this is never going to happen. You ever have that feeling? But you still bring it up. Dan was very faithful. He would show up and he said, guys, listen, I need prayer for this. It's not working out. Can you pray? And we would pray. And you guys prayed. The whole group prayed. And it was answered eventually. There are certain things we just can't handle on our own. It's okay to say it. I can't handle certain things. Certain things have to be brought into body life and prayed about. Probably quite a few things. Sometimes maybe we're a little too quiet on that front. But I'd like to, okay, so there it is. And I believe these five graces that God's put in our life, the Christmas gifts, so to speak, these five, that we write them down and start this year, we keep coming back to these five. It's going to help us from the Father's going to, and the Holy Spirit can use these to help us from stumbling. I find that when I get away from these, and a focus on the gifts that God's given us, it's easy to fall out of sorts, so to speak. But I want to talk about, in closing, one of these gifts. And we actually had two of them operational here as we went down to the door of faith. And I want to talk about the gift of the Bibles that we gave to the young people, the high school kids. And I found that, and I think Kathy and Jan will agree, that they actually, it wasn't like, oh, Bible, you know, oh, Bible. No, you know, they're teenagers, but they actually had a real desire, and they took those Bibles, I thought, you know, like, had a little more excitement than I expected to take those Bibles. And then Lynette shared with us, Lynette Johnson, which most of us know her, from our fellowship, Dora Faye. And she said, well, you know, something unusual happened just recently. She said, they go to a Calvary Chapel there in town. When she says town, I don't know what that means. Does anyone know what that means? Does that mean Cantamar? I don't know. Oh, La Mission? They have a Calvary Chapel there? Okay. All right. Jan shaking her head. So she said, well, they started a youth group down there, and our kids have got, they invited our kids, and they went down to the youth group, and they're like, oh, well, you know, this is kind of going to be whatever, but all of a sudden, it was pretty lively, I guess, and, you know, there it was fun, too, and then they asked, tell me if I have the name right, but they started really all developing an interest in this youth group at Calvary Chapel. And she said, that's why the desire is there. And she says, not only that, I think the young man's name is Raul. Maybe I have it wrong. But Raul, the 18-year-old there, is a little bit too old to be part of the high school group. So they asked him to come in to be kind of one of the youth leaders. And he was taking leadership, I noticed, with the little group there of the high schoolers. So what I'm saying is that we would pray that God would burn in the hearts of these young men and women that took those Bibles. See, we prayed, right? as we went down there, and we handed those Bibles out. There's a second thing we talked about here. And you know, we were stuck, what, how many hours at the Bible? Because Bob took a wrong turn. Jan was nice to me and didn't let me have it. But I took a wrong turn, so it took a little longer than we thought to get back. And you know what the third thing we had, I thought at least, I don't know what Jan and Kathy thought, but I thought we had a great time of fellowship. We were with Katie Rusk, I was with three wonderful sisters, including my wife, and we just had a great time of fellowship, a lot of conversation about the Lord. Awesome. Encouraging. And our oneness in Christ. And then, to top it all off, we were coming across the border, and this guy at the check station coming through was the nicest guy. He was smiling, he was beaming, he was full of life, and he had a real strong accent. And Katie goes, "Where are you from?" And he says, "Ukraine." And he was just, I don't know if he was just brand new here or whatever, but he was very happy to have that job, which most Americans wouldn't be so happy, I think, with that job. I've never seen anybody with that kind of attitude, so good. And he goes, "But Mr. Myers, I hate to inform you, and it's nothing against you. You're called to secondary." And then we got over there, and there's a bunch of Americans that weren't very nice. That's the truth of the matter. I tried to be nice to them. But that's it. We're not going to go further, but I wanted to intertwine these. There was a big goal. I wanted to intertwine these five things into the four verses we were going to read in Colossians, but that's for next time. Just have a couple of prayers in close.